our study on M47, and I want to welcome our guests. This is our first time we've had three teleconference visitors, and I want to welcome you from three areas of the United States, as well as our in-house guest and new members of the committee. And I want to thank Elise and Alex for putting this all together, our technicians who have created this these connections and done a great job at it. So I want to start off just by reading the words of M47 so we remember exactly what we're here to study. And I'm going to read that the motion, that the Standing Committee on Health be instructed to examine the public health effects of the ease of access and viewing of online violent and degrading sexually explicit material on children, women, and men, recognizing and respecting the provincial and territorial jurisdictions in this regard, and that the said committee report its findings to the House no later than July 2017. Now, we have four presenters today, four witnesses, and I'm going to introduce them, starting with our in-house witness, Leanna McDonald, Executive Director of the Canadian Centre for Child Protection. And then from Boston, Massachusetts, we have Dr. Gail Dines from Culture Reframed, President. From Fayetteville, North Carolina, we have Dr. Sharon Cooper, Executive Officer, Chief Executive Officer of Development and Forensic Pediatrics. And from Minneapolis, Minnesota, we have Cordelia Anderson, founder of Sensibilities Prevention Services. I want to welcome you all and thank you very much for taking the time from your schedules to do this. And I understand that, Ms. McDonald, you have to leave at 12:15 to catch a plane. So now the way we do this, we open with a 10-minute presentation by each one. Each one will have the opportunity to make an opening statement of 10 minutes. At 9 minutes, I hold up this red card, so you have 1 minute left to go. And then we'll end it there. But we're going to start with Leanna McDonald from the Canadian Centre of Child Protection. So, Leanna, 10 minutes.
Am I good there?
Yes.
No? Yes? Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much to the committee for providing us with this important opportunity. I'd also like to acknowledge my wonderful colleagues who are joining us. You have real experts here today. We've been working with Dr. Sharon Cooper and Cordelia for over 10 years, and they can really offer up some important information. So I shall begin. My name is Leanna McDonald, and I'm the Executive Director of the Canadian Centre for Child Protection. Our agency is a national charity dedicated to the personal safety of children, and our goal is to reduce the incidences of missing and sexually exploited children while educating the Canadian public about ways to keep their children safe. The Canadian Centre operates cybertip.ca, which is Canada's national tip line to report the online sexual exploitation of children. The tip line is a central part of the Government of Canada's national strategy for the protection of children from sexual exploitation on the internet. The primary role of the tip line is to receive and analyze reports on potentially illegal material or activities regarding online crimes against children. Since the inception in 2002, the tip line has processed over 220,000 reports from the public concerning children being sexually exploited on the internet. The number of reports coming into the tip line has steadily increased over the years, and since 2014, CyberTip has averaged approximately 3,000 reports per month. It is through our work over the last 14 years that our agency has witnessed the growing proliferation of child sexual abuse on the internet. The misuse of technology has accelerated the propagation of child pornography, normalized the sexualization of children, and made it abundantly easier for offenders to actively participate in this illegal behavior. Focusing on today's discussion, it should be noted that there is a significant difference between so-called adult pornography and the child abuse material that is reported to us on a daily basis. Overwhelmingly, the content that is reported to the tip line depicts children being sexually exploited or abused, and the image or video becomes a permanent record of a child's abuse and can propagate indefinitely. When it comes to distributing adult pornography, the public has nowhere to report it. Given that CyberTip is the closest thing to a reporting entity, 15% of our reports include this type of egregious sexual material. Our analysts, regrettably, every day have to see firsthand how extremely disturbing and graphic this content can be. And I provide just one very mild example. So our analysts would process these reports as they would come into the tip line. So we would see a very popular one, a naked female is shown on her hands and knees while a male is penetrating her from behind. In the background, there are at least six naked other men visibly, all masturbating. The men then take turns anally penetrating the female one after another. She is completely there to serve them. In our experience, both adult pornography and child pornography have become increasingly disturbing over the years, including elements of sadism, bondage, torture, and bestiality. It is important to recognize that the reports made to the tip line come in from the members of the public who have come across some of this disturbing material on the public internet. There are no required usernames or passwords to gain access. We frequently receive reports relating to adult and child pornography that are in plain view on popular social media platforms. The fact that this content is encountered by members of the public so often and in such public places is a significant public health concern. The ease of access of sexually explicit material also provides sexual offenders a tool to groom children. Research indicates that sexual offenders expose children to pornographic videos and images in order to lower children's inhibitions. For example, one study found that 91 offenders who sexually exploited children, they 33% used adult pornography videos or magazines to groom, educate, and desensitize the children. Offenders use pornography as well as violent and degrading sexually explicit content to normalize the abuse perpetrated against a victim. The narrative created by those who offend against children is that the acts are engaged in by mature individuals and the victim is growing up. And it is often used to educate the victim on what the offender wants the child to do. The above points are supported through research conducted by our agency. In January 2016, we conducted an international survey of survivors whose child sexual abuse was recorded and distributed online. The survivors who participated in the survey contributed valuable details and information about their experiences. Based on the preliminary findings, we learned that among 93 victims disclosed exposure to inappropriate content as part of their abuse process. 57% were shown adult pornography and 44% were shown child pornography. I would like to raise one example of a case where an offender used sexually explicit material to groom a child. R versus JV is a 2015 case from the Ontario Court of Justice. In this case, the father physically and sexually abused his daughters from the age of 4 and 5 and throughout their entire childhood in what the judge described as a sadistic pattern of gratuitous torture. The mother was also involved as a facilitator and in some instances an abuser. Each victim described a pattern whereby they would be called into their room by their father to watch pornography. These included threesomes and bestiality, and he would make them watch and then proceed to force them to participate in a variety of sexual acts. One victim described being forced to engage in bestiality after her father watched similar pornographic acts. When children reach adolescence, the seamless integration of technology into their lives provides them with easy access to pornographic material. An increased amount of research is linking adolescent pornography viewing to numerous negative health outcomes such as aggression, substance abuse, depression, risky sexual behaviors, and sexual deviance. The available research is also consistent with our experience connecting directly with child educators and Canadian children. The Canadian Centre has educational materials in classrooms across Canada. We also run student advisory groups, which we engage to seek information directly from youth relating to online and personal safety experiences. Through informal discussion with students in 2016, we learned that approximately 70% of the students in grade 6 had at one time or another felt discomfort with something they'd come across online with pornography and related terms often cited as the source of discomfort. This informal data is backed by a study that was released in June of 2016 from Middlesex University in London. An extensive survey of students between the ages of 11 and 16 was conducted, which revealed that children were initially shocked and confused after seeing pornography, but the shock subsided and repeated after repeated viewing. Of critical importance, nearly half of the males reported that online pornography gave them ideas about the type of sex they wanted to try out, and just over half of the boys surveyed saw pornography as realistic. Our agency also connects with parents. In February of 2017, we conducted a survey of parents to better understand their unique concerns regarding their children's access to the internet and online safety. The preliminary findings suggested that among the 122 respondents, 60% were deeply concerned about their children being exposed to inappropriate content such as pornographic images or violence. In addition, 53% of respondents indicated that they needed help in gaining knowledge of the online environment to educate and protect their children. The reality is that the burden of managing this issue thus far has fallen onto parents. The number of apps, social media sites, and websites has grown exponentially, and yet parents are expected to be able to navigate this on their own and somehow make sure their children aren't exposed to things they can't handle. This is unrealistic, it is unfair, and it ought to change. In conclusion, our agency believes that there is an urgent need to take steps to limit the accessibility of child abuse material as well as violent and degrading sexual content, particularly on websites that are publicly available. A few concrete steps to address this issue could include exploring opportunities to engage with bodies that are responsible for the assignment of domain names to designate specific domain names as child safe. These child-faced top-level domains would require entities to enforce rules relating to the type of content they cannot host, such as pornography and graphic violence. Second, the education of adults on the harmful impacts of pornography and devising solutions such as age verification technology to help ensure that pornographic content is not readily accessible to young people. Third, helping parents keep pace with the technological trends and arming them with child protection tools and resources. And finally, we must educate and empower our children around issues of sexual consent, healthy relationship, and boundaries. Our hope is that we can continue to work together with stakeholders in the Government of Canada to find meaningful ways to ensure that our children are better protected from harmful content abuse and exploitation. Thank you.
Thank you.